Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today is pianist-composer Steve Kuhn. He's also a longtime friend of mine. As a teenager, he played with the likes of Coleman Hawkins and Stan Getz, developing his own style along the way. And still developing along the way, aren't you?
Absolutely. It's an ongoing project.
Sure is.
It's always challenging.
How are you?
I'm well. It's wonderful to see you.
You too.
Many years that have
gone
in between, but you look wonderful, and I'm really happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. I'm just very happy to hear about your new record on Blue Note.
Yes, I signed with Blue Note, and we did a live recording at Birdland.
It was a very nice record. In fact,
maybe you'll
play something from it.
I shall do that, yes. Ron Carter was the bassist, and Al Foster was the drummer. And we had a nice time.
You couldn't miss with those guys.
No, it's like it just sort of runs itself. The trio runs by itself.
I would think so.
It was really, really enjoyable working with those guys.
It's incredible.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to hearing this. Which one is it going to be?
This is one of my all-time heroes, Fats Waller, and this is one of his songs called The Jitterbug Waltz.
Oh, that's a great song.
Mm.
I shall listen with pleasure.
Thank you.
That's a great tune, and it never seems to fade away. It's always a good one to play.
Absolutely. Oh, the way it's harmonically set up, and Fats had such great humor in his music, and the way he wrote and
he
the way
does,
he performed. And so I try to keep some of that in there, of course. It's got to be humor in the music. Otherwise, it's for me, it doesn't work at all. So
I'm always thinking of your feet's too big.
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to come to England a lot, and I was too young and wouldn't be allowed to go anywhere to hear him. He probably played the Palladium.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember that, but of course later I had a boyfriend brought me recordings of everybody.
Right.
So
I don't think I ever saw him live. My father had 78s, so that's what I was listening to. And
that's probably where you got started on piano, with your father's records.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, when I was a baby. I mean, he had these collection of 78 jazz records, you know, Basie and Ellington and Benny Goodman. And when I was literally a baby, 3 months, 6 months, and I would respond to this music. I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, but I was able to show how much this music really got to me. So this is how it all began, listening to his 78 record collection.
I'll never forget you. I remember your father very well. Mm. Very nice-looking man. And, of course, you jumped up on the bench and played.
Well, it was very nice of you to invite me. I mean, I was 15 or 16 years old, and mm-hmm. every time Pop brought me to New York, we came into the Hickory House, and you always asked me to play. So
I remember that so well, and it was fun having somebody young like that could come and really play and amaze people.
It was a wonderful experience for me, and I will always be in your debt for that.
How many years? At least 50.
Yep.
More.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I can walk about and say, I taught him everything he knows.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Play another tune. I would love to hear some more.
This is an old song. It's kind of poignant. It was written long before I was born, but it resonates deeply with me, the lyric as well as the music, and it's called When I Grow Too Old to Dream.
Oh, my goodness. I think I learned that off the BBC or something. But it's a very poignant tune.
It is. I love it. Just playing it fairly simply, nothing too elaborate. Just.
It's going to bring things back to a lot of people. Play away.
Okay. Thank you.
I haven't heard that tune for a long time. People in England seem to play it a lot. It was very popular, and I don't know who wrote it, but it was sung on the BBC, and it's really nice to hear it again. Boy.
It's a nice old tune. I wonder whether it was written around World War One. I mean, I don't know. It seems it has the poignancy to it. It would sort of reflect the time of the wartime and
it
stuff
might
like
be.
That.
Well, we've got more coming up with Steve Kuhn. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. All these tunes, did you play them, learn them by ear or off a record or something?
Some I did. I remember when I was quite young getting the very first fake book that came out at that time. And I would just go through the fake book page by page, and there were three songs on each page, and there were maybe a thousand songs in the book. And I would just go through the pages and play them all and picked out what I liked.
And then you could learn them by memory?
Yeah. I had a photographic memory.
That was handy.
Which still I have an echo of, but it's fading as the years go by. But things I heard on the radio, things from records that my father had. Well, I remember listening when I was really young to all the boogie-woogie pianists, because that was a big influence.
Oh,
on me.
Those
Lux
guys.
Lewis, Pine Top Smith, Pete Johnson, Albert Ammons. I mean, I love that stuff. I loved it.
And it's wonderful.
It really is.
I'm not terribly good at playing it anymore, but I used to.
Neither am I, but I certainly played a lot of them. As a matter of fact, when I was very young, and I started to study when I was, I think, five, and I was studying the classical repertoire, of course, but what I was doing was playing the classical pieces, but I was improvising on them because it was boring to me to play the thing the same way that each time I played it. And there was very little variety you can do. You can change the dynamics of it or maybe the tempo. But so I would improvise, and my teachers were not too thrilled about that. So
no,
they
I
would give imagine. Me, to keep my interest, they would give me a boogie-woogie piece to play during that week. So the following week I would play that piece, but at least I was able to have something where I could give vent to my improvisational.
Well, when did you get to your lessons with the fabulous Madame Shaloff?
When we moved to Boston, I think I was 12 at the time. I started studying when I was 5, so 7 years of instruction in Brooklyn, where I was born, and in Chicago, where we had moved after Brooklyn. Those 7 years, essentially, when I met her, she just really broke down what I was doing technically and just had to re-educate me in terms of how to play the instrument, really, and about the Russian school of piano technique, and I know you know about that.
Now, what is that?
It's the ability to play dynamically the whole gamut, the range of dynamics, and also in terms of tempo, play as slow or as fast, all the while being able to get a sound on the piano. And in order to get that sound, she used to use the analogy, which is very, I use it when I teach a little bit now, the thinking of your fingertip as the reed, if you were a horn player, and thinking of the key as the mouthpiece, and you literally blowing into the key from your finger.
Boy, that's fascinating.
And then the sound comes out the soundboard, which is the way it's supposed to. And that's, you know, to get a good piano sound, and a lot of people are not aware of this. What they do, pianists, let's say, they will tense up in their forearms, and they don't allow the sound to come out to the fingertip. They tense up, the flow of the blood stops, and you know, a lot of times it affects the sound, so it becomes very brittle, and it doesn't have a natural piano sound. So the thing that she, when I used to do it, she used to say to me, just stop playing, drop your arms to your side, and let the blood flow to your fingertips. And then put your hands back up on the piano and just keep your arms light, no resistance, because she used to touch my arm. And if I stiffened up at all, then she said, no, just relax. And basically, it was if I was able to do this, and it took a number of years to really get it into my psyche where I didn't have to think about it, you could play, really, the tempos were not a problem, any tempos, and the whole dynamic range was within your grasp, and getting a piano sound.
The
sound.
And you're still doing that?
Well, she really taught me well, and as I said, it did take a number of years so I didn't have to think about it.
Well, we're going to play a duet.
We are.
And you'll be doing this fabulous thing, and I'll be trying to match it.
No.
But I won't.
No,
I'll do the best I can. What would you like to do?
Well, there's this lovely song from a motion picture many years ago, The Americanization of Emily.
Oh, yes.
And it happens to be the title song.
And Emily. It's a very pretty song.
Yes, I think so.
Well, you start it, and I'll follow.
I'll start,
along.
Okay. Thank you.
I love the way you started that tune. That was a nice introduction. What did you do? Sort of
just the 1-6-2-5 thing.
I'm ignorant.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I mean, I don't know what a 1-6.
Well, in D major we played it, so
it's very nice. D major sort of set up the tune a lot more nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have more music in a minute with Steve Kuhn. For more information about piano jazz and the list of the songs played on today's program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. How about I play a tune for you?
That would be great. I'd love to hear you.
Well, this is a tune, actually, that I wrote. I always seem to go back to the Hickory House. And I was there, and I don't know, somehow this tune came to me. I always get the titles. There'll be other times, I thought, said to somebody. Well, there'll be other times. And I thought, what a nice title for a tune. So I did the tune, and then I thought that would be nice to have a lyric to this tune.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered over the microphone, and a girl came up out of the audience and wrote quite a decent lyric to the tune, and Sarah Vaughan recorded it.
Wow.
Yes.
Not bad.
Well, I'll play it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That was lovely. When did you write that? Was it at the time you went to Hickory House?
It was, yeah. Uh-huh. It's funny. The title and the tune, or the first part of the melody, just worked together. And then it sort of went from there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find when you're composing, some tunes fall together and others it's difficult to get them?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But it was really lovely, so thank you for playing that. That was great.
Glad you liked it. Well, we're going to do a duet now. What do you think about Too Late Now? Is that a good tune?
Absolutely. It's a gorgeous song. You know, years ago I had a friend who had married, and that was his keynote song, or what the first song that the band played when he and his wife, for their first dance, was Too Late Now, which I thought was kind of funny.
I think it's hilarious.
And so did he, but they did it.
I wonder if the bride knew the tune.
Yes, I think she did. I think she did. It's just, there was their sense of humor.
Oh,
and it's a nice
married
tune. I mean, you never hear Too Late Now. Most people don't know it anyway, and those who do would never think of playing it as their first dance for their wedding.
Well, here it goes.
So you go. You start. Thank you.
Well, we don't have a reason for playing that tune like your friend at the wedding. We just play it because it's a nice tune.
That's it.
I'm really looking forward to hearing another solo from you. Have you got something lined up?
Yes, I do. This is a composition written by Neil Hefti called Repetition, and it's something that I heard Charlie Parker and Strings. It's from that album, and I think it's a great tune, and Bird was and is one of my all-time heroes. So
mine too.
So this is one of those from that String album, which probably is the most well-known of the songs from that album. That was not a standard. I mean, at the time, I think Neil wrote this specifically and arranged it for Bird and Strings.
Play away. I'm dying to hear it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that's probably one of the nicest tunes on that album, as a matter of fact.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you learn that just hearing it?
You know, I don't remember. I mean, I remember hearing it, of course, and was really taken by it. But I'm wondering whether I, at some point, I had contacted Neil Hefti to get a lead sheet to see exactly the way he had written, because I know the way he arranged it, there were some interludes that Bird played, and I wasn't going to do those, but I wanted to just get the essence of the song. So what I wound up doing is playing the song the way he wrote it, but then I transposed it into another key. So I did a half the song in one key and then the other half, and I kept going back and forth in two different keys.
It's really...
So that was my contribution to it, if you will. But so
really nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There's more to come with Steve Kuhn. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. What do you say to another duet?
Sounds good to me.
Pick the tune.
Pick the tune. Let's see. Okay. There was a show tune many years ago. I don't know if it came from Kismet, the Broadway
oh,
play.
Oh, right, yes.
Called Baubles, Bangles, and Beads. And the composers are, the last names are Wright and Forrest. That's all I remember. The first names I don't know, but I think it's from Kismet, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a good tune to play. Nobody seems to play that much anymore. It'll be nice to hear it.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
Okay. Thank you. Boy, really nice to hear Baubles and Bangles again. I haven't heard that tune for a long time. To actually get to play it was nice.
Yes.
In fact,
it's a nice tune.
All the tunes we've done, the things I haven't done in a while, including Walking, we haven't, I don't think we've ever done that. A tune by Miles.
Yes, although I don't think he wrote it, but he certainly is identified with the song. Many songs he recorded that he took credit for as a composer, but didn't actually write.
We'll forgive him this time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll let him listen.
Okay, Walking.
Well, I've had fun. I hope you have.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland and our guest today, Steve Kuhn. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Sam Gianelli. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Production manager, David Lyon. Executive producer, Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. Support also comes from Downbeat, an insider's guide to over 75 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. Add a jazz touch to your holidays with an NPR Jazz Christmas with Marion McPartland and Friends, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, available individually or all three in a single collection on the web at shop.npr.org. This is NPR.